impact in the life of a child.
God bless you, and enjoy the Tootsie Roll.
Prices are falling fast at Rent-A-Center. It's the Rack Roll Down. We've rolled down prices throughout the store to their lowest levels ever. Shop our new lower prices on your favorite brands. Everyone's pre-approved for 90 days same as cash or flexible weekly or monthly payments with no credit needed. Hurry in and save like never before with new lower prices at Rent-A-Center. See store for details. Pre-approval means no credit check or credit required. Rental purchase transaction, 90 days same as cash, not valid in Vermont.
Join CK Supply at their Used Equipment Expo and Skills Contest on Saturday, October 12th from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. You'll find some of the lowest prices of the year on new, used, and reconditioned welding equipment. Enter to win a new Lincoln Electric welding machine or a Victor cutting outfit. Free lunch will also be provided. Don't miss this once-a-year sale on October 12th at CK Supply's St. Louis location off Manchester. Call 314-644-3500 or visit CEEKAY.com.
Without trees, hammocks would just be blankets on the ground. Like hammocks and naps, being around trees lowers your blood pressure. Trees work! Visit treeswork.org to learn more. Brought to you by the Missouri Department of Conservation.
Hurry into Sears Auto Center for great deals on America's most trusted battery, DieHard. Plus, take advantage of a free battery check at Sears Auto Center. See store for details.
Hit the B square!
Friday edition here on the Big 550 KTRS. I am Paul Harris. Ian and Dan and I are coming to you live today from O'Kelly's at the ballpark, just 3 hours and 23 minutes before the first pitch of NLCS game number one. Joe Kelly will be on the mound for the Cardinals. Zach Greinke will be on the mound for the Dodgers. And our thanks to Lance and Andrea, who have a restaurant on the hill you may have heard of called Mama Campisi's. Well, they opened up this place about 19, 20 months ago. In downtown St. Louis, right on South 4th Street. It has become a great place for people to come by on their way to or from the ballpark, or a place to hang out while the game's going on.
Very cool buildings, two of them together.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty neat.
And the buildings were not connected until they took it over and connected them and blew through some walls. And Lance was telling me that the other night, Wednesday night, there was a big crowd here. And, of course, the game was going on at the ballpark. And he was standing outside, and he heard the roar of the crowd. And, of course, there's a delay between when it happens live and when it happens on TV. And so he ran back inside where everybody's watching it on all the big screen TVs, and he said, get ready.
Something's going to happen.
What are you talking about?
Something is about to happen.
And then, of course,
David Freeze at the home run.
Something like that, yeah.
Hey, and if anyone has an extra ticket and they want to give it to me, we don't have tickets to the game, by the way.
Oh, you know what? I left my extra ticket in my other
place.
I'm sorry.
We are at O'Kelly's. Just swing by. I'll be happy to go to the game with you.
There you go. And what? Beer's on you? That's so generous, Dan. Thank you.
I didn't know. I'm a ventriloquist.
Your mic cut out for a second.
I'll buy a beer.
Yeah. So we're happy to be here until 6 o'clock tonight, and you can come by and say hi and be a part of the show if you like. Now this part of the show is brought to you by ORIC, with 7 locally owned and operated home centers throughout the St. Louis area, and they're online also at O-R-E-C-K. That's ORIC.com. And if they are the sponsor, it means it's time for this gentleman back in our studio, Mr. Joe Hipperson.
Oh, yes. Yes. Yes, yes. What's up, Paul Harris?
Hey, Joe, we're sorry you couldn't make it down here today, but we understand you got family stuff you got to rush out to right after the show.
Well, not only that, I'm good, but I also got the memo that all 6 parking spots were taken up, and I didn't have 40 bones to drop on the one across the street.
Yeah. $40. Ian thinks that the parking lot one block closer to the ballpark might be 50, right?
Oh, yeah, it has to be, because it's normally 20 during the regular games. I guarantee it's 50.
Actually, right behind the building here, I was talking to the guy, right behind the building here, $20 at O'Kelly's.
Not a bad deal.
No, that's not bad at all.
No.
And during the newscast, we were visited by a guy by the name of Brian, who is a ballpark beer vendor. Heard us talking about that job on the air, stopped in to say hi, and he told us that the price of beer goes up.
Yeah.
And the price of beer has a direct relationship to how much he makes, because these guys don't get paid a salary at all. They work completely on commission and tips. And so he was telling us about how he once went to a music festival in, where was it, Dayton, Ohio?
I think so.
Something like that. And at that music festival, they were charging $5 for water or lemonade.
Yeah.
And he said, at $5, no one's ever going to tip him because they're all going to give him a $5 bill.
Yeah.
You make it 4 and a quarter where he can make 75 cents off of that because people say, here's five, keep the change. He's good. Same thing happens here. If the beer is normally $8.25 and they make it $9, that person who gives them a 10 is going to say, keep the change and think they're doing the same good thing. He's only getting $1 instead of $1.75. His salary goes way down.
Yeah.
Now, when
I think that the...
I was just asking, when he told you this story, was he right next to you or was he standing at the other end of the room screaming the story to you?
No. Oh, he actually came in and talked to us. So I was saying that if... You know, this goes deep enough into this series and then onto the World Series, maybe they should price the beers at like $12. That way he's making $3 a beer because people will give him 15.
Yeah.
Well, not only that, but I mean, they have enough of them, then eventually they're just going to throw the guy a 20.
Yeah.
That's right.
Especially if they're winning.
There
absolutely.
Not
yes.
If you're paying $40 for parking.
Well, Joe, what do you have for us on the movie front this week?
Well, I've got one film. I would assume that you've got one as well. Who goes first, Mr. Harris?
You go first.
All right, I will go first. I have Machete Kills. I'm going to take a wild guess that Paul Harris has never seen the first Machete film.
I didn't know that this was a sequel.
Okay, there we go. That's the answer I was looking for. Back in the day, Quentin Tarantino and Robert Rodriguez did this big grindhouse experiment where you had the movie Planet Terror, and then some fake movie trailers, and then you had a movie called Death Proof. I was a huge fan of that cinematic experience if you went in and saw the giant 3-plus-hour opus of entertainment. Then they released them separately on DVD, and the whole experience was kind of lost. But one thing that always stayed was the Machete trailer. The idea was, hey, let's get these really B-movie-looking things with a lot of celebrities in them, and, you know, we'll call it a grindhouse feature, but if it's going to be a grindhouse feature, we have to have a really cool fake trailer here and there. And they came up with the idea of Danny Trejo, which is basically like the Robert De Niro for Robert Rodriguez. He's in everything Rodriguez does. The idea was, okay, let's have Danny Trejo play this guy named Machete, and he leads a Mexican revolution, and he just lobs off people's arms and heads and legs. It's going to be great. The trailer was hilarious. It was really funny. It was way over the top. Somebody over at Dimension Films, I believe, said, hey, here's a bunch of money. Everybody loved that fake trailer from Machete. Make it a real movie. It'll be awesome. So Robert Rodriguez got a buddy of his, another director friend. They decided to try and expand the idea of the trailer, and they included a lot of A-list people. De Niro was in it. I don't know why, but Steven Seagal was in this film, and it was simply called Machete, and it flopped. It was absolutely abysmal because it was just a gag. It was a gag that was great for 2 minutes, not for anything near 2 hours. However,
so in Hollywood, when they see that something absolutely flopped and didn't work for more than a couple of minutes, they think, you know what? Let's make another movie, but we'll make it longer.
Well, this is true. This is true. But I would like to say that I believe it was a godsend. It was a huge bonus that the Machete film flopped because then Rodriguez says, okay, look, I shouldn't have had another director join me. It really didn't hit the mark the way I wanted to. What I really want is a complete just spaghetti fiasco. I would just want blood and guts and chicks with their things hanging out. I just want a complete guy fest, a great movie. I am of the opinion that Robert Rodriguez basically wants to do what Stallone wished he would have accomplished with the Expendables movies, which is a huge cast and just a complete send-up to craziness, and he nailed it with this movie, Machete Kills. It's a very simple story. Machete is a guy played by Danny Trejo. If you don't know who Danny Trejo is, trust me, you do. You'll see his mug, and I mean, he's the ugliest person walking the face of the earth, but he nails the role. The role was made for this guy. The whole premise is...
Let me just interrupt for a second here, Joe, because anybody who saw Breaking Bad, the second season, there was a character in there, a Mexican bad guy played by Danny Trejo named Tortuga. Tortuga is Spanish for turtle, and the way Danny Trejo's run on Breaking Bad ended was having his head cut off and then plopped onto the back of a large tortoise which later exploded and killed some DEA agents.
Oh.
Wow.
I don't think I need to say spoiler alert for something that aired on TV 3 years ago, do I?
No.
No,
unless you're waiting to get the, unless you're going to buy the box set next month and I just ruined it for you. But anyway, that was Danny Trejo. And you're right, he is not an attractive person.
No, he's not. But I'll tell you what, this guy, I referenced the Expendables for a reason. You got a lot of old dudes trying their best to relive glory days and pump up and do all that. Danny Trejo, I believe, is just about older than every single person in the Expendables cast, and this guy just nails what he does because it's all done tongue-in-cheek. But there's one good thing about how they execute it, and there's something I can't stand with Hollywood movies sometimes. When I look at a movie like The Princess Bride, the reason that movie works and still holds up is because, yeah, it's tongue-in-cheek, it's not meant to be taken seriously, but everybody in the film acts as if they're doing an A-list film, as if they're doing the Godfather. They commit to the roles and it goes all the way to a complete 10. Therefore, in this film, yeah, it's completely out there. It's completely aloof. It's just dumb, but everybody takes their roles beyond serious, and therefore you get an amazing finished product. It starts out with the President of the United States enlisting the help of Machete. Now, the President is played by Charlie Sheen, but he is cast in this movie as Carlos Estevez, which should also give you an idea of where we're going with this film. It's kind of a bit on the silly side. So you got Carlos Estevez, a.k.a. Charlie Sheen.
Well, that's the name he was born with.
Well,
that's the name he was born with, Carlos Estevez.
This is very, very true. But they do it in a way where people that don't know that might think that, oh, hey, this movie about Mexicans, hey, they're being funny. It's done so well that I wanted to go into other areas. I tell you what, supporting cast, very good. Jessica Alba shows up briefly. Amber Heard, beyond hot. Michelle Rodriguez, insanely hot. You've got Antonio Banderas, William Sadler. Unfortunately, Lady Gaga is in the cast. Sofia Vergara is in this movie. The standout, the reason to see this film is two words: Mel Gibson. All right, Mel Gibson is the bad
guy. What?
I'm not making this up. He's the bad guy in the film. Now, check this out. Imagine, if you will, because Lethal Weapon 3 and 4, not so much. But go back to Lethal Weapon 1 and parts of Lethal Weapon 2, when the character of Martin Riggs was still completely Section 8 crazy. You take that performance, then take his morality, and instead of him being a good guy, make him a bad guy that is obsessed with James Bond villains. I'm telling you, this is the role that Mel Gibson has been waiting to play. He is beyond ecstatic and electrifying. He is a complete nut job, but you absolutely love him in every single scene because he steals every moment he's in. This is Mel Gibson turned up to 11 in a movie that is very R-rated. It's an hour and 47 minutes long. To give you an example of how R-rated this film is, there's a bad guy who's trying to beat up Machete. There happens to be a helicopter flying above them. Well, Machete's got a harpoon gun, and he's able to shoot the bad guy, then shoot the harpoon gun again so that it goes up to the blades of the helicopter, and we see every inch of the gruesome detail that happens when this guy reaches the helicopter blades. That is the level of violence in the film. It is not for everybody. It'll turn off tons of people. But if you're a guy, maybe you're early 20s, maybe you and your friends are done and can't just play World of Warcraft one more night and you just really want to experience life, I'm telling you, this is the ultimate guy movie. This is the ultimate geek fest on a geek level, nerd level, on the fact that Mel Gibson just rocks the entire film. I give this a very strong 7 out of 10. However,
and there's always a however in life.
As a film critic, this movie is a negative 1 out of 10.
Real
negative 1?
I'm telling you, wow. No. As a film critic, this is just, it's ludicrous. It's almost embarrassing to have to sit through it. But if you get past that and you just become just, you know, like a kid in a candy store, this film works in a brilliant way. But as a piece of cinema, it should never, ever, 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 ever get on the desk of anyone that works for AFI. I mean, it should just never even come close. But it's still
Joe,
a really
considering
cool...
what you said, considering what you said about Mel Gibson and how really, really talented he was and how good he was in those Lethal Weapon movies and even some of the stuff he did later. I liked him in Conspiracy Theory with Julia Roberts. I even liked him in that, what was that one he did with Helen Hunt where she looked incredibly hot?
What Women Want. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I thought he was pretty good in that. And he made a couple of other good movies before, you know, the hateful side of him, the drunken hateful side of him came forward. But now that we do know that stuff about him, when you see him on the screen, is your reaction to him any different than it would have been, say, 10 or 15 years ago?
The very first reaction I had when I saw him was, Yikes. I mean, this guy's got more, like, just embedded wrinkles in his face. You could fight World War One in the trenches of the forehead of Mel Gibson. It is just really, really... That's the very first thing. It's like, wow, man, this guy aged. But before you know it, once you get past the fact he doesn't look like the Mel that you used to know, there's a charisma to him. And I know that there's a lot of things he's done that have turned a lot of people off. But he still has his twinkle in the eye. He still has a way that when he smiles or he lets out a laugh... I'm sorry, I'm easily seduced by that, and it didn't affect the viewing experience for me, mostly because deep down I've been waiting for Mel Gibson to do something to prove, hey, he's still Mel Gibson, he's still the actor, he's still the guy that can make a performance. I will put the movie Get the Gringo up there with almost anything he's done to prove the guy still has it in him to make a really good film. And by the way, yeah, we're talking Mexican movies, whatnot, Get the Gringo, Good Diamond in the Rough. If you've never seen it, it's definitely worth renting.
Si, senor.
Thank you.
I think he is a poster boy for proof that you can have this head full of ugly thoughts and opinions and yet be the most charming person in the world on the outside and have nobody, you know, everybody who just sees superficial exterior of yours. And again, he's a talented actor. You give him credit for that. But once that stuff came out about what he had been saying and what he had been doing and how he'd been acting, my opinion of him changed so that I think every time I see him perform now, or even if I were to go back and, let's say, Lethal Weapon 1 was on TV and I just came across it and I watched it, I think I would have my mindset about it would be very, very different.
Well, a lot of
my mindset about him seeing him and stuff like that is totally different.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
But you also described my ex-wife, too.
Well, you look at Robert Downey Jr. Robert Downey Jr. has been in front of audiences and said, look, you guys forgave me, and look at every single thing I did. Why can't you? Because him and Mel Gibson still today are
very close
friends.
Yeah, but he was doing that to himself, Joe.
That's the point.
Robert Downey Jr. was... He was a drug addict and a booze hound, and it's not like, you know, when you're doing it to yourself, that's one thing.
No, when
you're doing it or expressing opinions like that about other people that are so harmful and hate-filled, that's when people are really not going to rally to your side anymore.
Well, that's the point I was trying to make, though, is that with Robert Downey Jr., like you said, it was self-inflicted. The problem with Mel Gibson and the reason why it's really difficult for people to embrace him the way they've embraced Iron Man is because Iron Man never said anything rude about anybody except himself, really. And he never did anything bad except to him. Mel Gibson really needs a PR agent every time he goes drinking, and we'll be fine. Everything will be good.
Yep.
So there you go. Machete
Kills. All right, the movie I have...
No, go ahead. I'm terribly sorry for interrupting, sir.
No, that's okay. I was going to say the movie I have for this week is Captain Phillips.
Oh, nice.
Which is, I will tell you the entire list of people in this movie whose names you will recognize. You ready?
I can't wait.
Tom Hanks. And did I mention Tom Hanks?
Yeah, you did.
He's the only person in here you'll recognize. This is the true story of a guy by the name of Rich Phillips, who was the captain of a cargo vessel called the Maersk, Alabama, which made headlines 3.5 years ago, 4.5 years ago, excuse me, when Somali pirates boarded it and tried to take over the ship and hold the ship for ransom. And I'm not spoiling anything by telling you that they couldn't get the ship, so they took the captain and held him hostage and got into a life craft, a life raft. It's not really a raft, but lifeboat. That's the word I'm looking for. And headed back towards Somalia. And, of course, the U.S. Navy got involved and the Navy SEALs got involved, and the story has a happy ending because he gets saved. Again, I'm not spoiling anything because this has all been in the news, and it's a true story. But so was Apollo 13, a true story that you knew the end of. You knew that Jim Lovell and the other guys were going to come back to Earth and they were going to be okay. That didn't stop you from going through the suspense of what's going to happen on this mission and how is it going to happen and the interpersonal play of what happens. Well, this guy, Rich Phillips, once he was rescued, wrote a book about his experience, and that book has been turned into this movie, Captain Phillips, and it is terrific. I go into these things with some trepidation about how they're going to be told, particularly when the movie essentially has to be carried by Tom Hanks and a bunch of actors who have never been in a movie before. The four guys who play the Somali pirates who board this vessel, and they do it very cleverly. I won't spoil that for you, except to tell you that up until then, everybody thought that the hull of these cargo ships was so high that no guys riding along in the ocean on speedboats never be able to get on board because they're not going to be able to get up to that height. These guys figured out a way to do that and got on board. The four guys who play those pirates are Somali Americans. They are immigrants from Somalia who live in the Minneapolis area. Who knew that there was a big Somali community there? But then again, we have a big Bosnian community here in St. Louis. What happens is immigrants come to a country. They find people who are like them, who have told them, you know, this is where we live. This is what this town is about. Same thing must have happened in the Twin Cities. So these guys ended up there, and there was an open recruiting cast call for Somalis to be in this movie. And these guys did it. And I heard Tom Hanks in an interview say the first time he ever met these guys was on the set of the movie when they were shooting the scene where the pirates come into the bridge where Hanks and his executive officer are. They come in holding their guns and yelling and screaming. And Hanks said, these were the scariest, skinniest men I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
He had not met these actors before that moment while the cameras were rolling. And you can see his reaction, the dread in his face when they come through there. They are terrific. If I had not told you that this was the first time they'd been in front of a movie camera, you probably wouldn't believe it after you've seen the movie. They are very, very good. The movie, I'm happy to say, does not involve a lot of special effects. Now, I know that I'm saying that a week after telling you about Gravity, which is a movie that essentially wins at the box office and is a great movie because of its special effects. But this one is Hanks and his crew not in front of green screens, not with those suits with the ping pong balls or cotton balls all over them, acting out in front of a room where there's nothing there. They actually went out in the ocean on board one of these giant cargo vessels. The Maersk company let them do that. And by the way, when a company lets you do that, you know that the movie's not going to portray them badly. But it's not really about that company. It's about these guys out there trying to steal this thing and hold it for ransom. I will, again, not to ruin any part of the movie for you, but I will tell you my favorite part of the movie is when the pirates have Tom Hanks' character, Rich Phillips, and the guy who is the leader of this band of four pirates tells Hanks, you know, I've done this before. And Hanks says, oh, yeah? He says, yeah, last year I got a boat and I got $6 million for it. Mm-hmm. And Hanks pauses and says, well, then why are you here? And the guy doesn't have an answer for him. And it's a great moment in the movie where you realize this guy, Rich Phillips, was pretty good at thinking on his feet. Or the screenwriter was pretty good at making it seem like he thinks well on his feet. And Hanks is so good in that role of a guy who's in a situation that's getting out of control, but he knows he has to maintain control. And when he's on board his own vessel, it's obvious that the crew looks up to him, that they respect him, that they do what he says, and that they expect him to be able to lead them out of any kind of trouble.
Did Tom Hanks get to meet Phillips and study him and talk to him about what happened?
I don't know. I don't know the backstory.
Well,
but I can tell you that... go ahead, Joe.
Well, a quick question. Wasn't this directed by the same guy that did United 93?
Paul Greengrass, who did United 93 and The Bourne Ultimatum and a couple of other terrific movies. He knows how to not only shoot action sequences, but get really, really solid performances out of the people in his movies. And that, you know, when you've got first-time actors, the director has to take a lot of credit for what he's able to get these guys to do.
Well, the question I've got then is from what I saw in United 93 being based on a true event and this being based on a true event, I'm just hoping, yeah. And you don't have to spoil anything here, but I'm hoping that in the film you're reviewing, it's more about what's happening at sea than it is unnecessary flashbacks or flash forwards or whatever to the land. You know what I mean?
Yes, and I'm glad you brought that up because I was going to mention there is one scene in this movie that is completely unnecessary. It's actually the first scene in the movie where Tom Hanks is getting ready to go to get involved in this adventure. And he's at home, and his wife is played by Catherine Keener. And he's packing up his stuff, and they get in the car, and she drives him to the airport. And when they're at the airport, she says goodbye, and they kiss. And, you know, we know that he's going off to have this adventure. She obviously doesn't. It's just another day in a life of being married to a cargo vessel captain and letting him go. And that movie is completely unnecessary because it has nothing to do with the story. The very next scene is in Somalia, where you learn a little bit of what's happening in the town that these pirates live in and what's forcing them to do what they do later on in the movie. That's where the movie should start. That's the only part of it that you need to know from then on. I don't know how you get an actress who's as talented as Catherine Keener to agree to come on and do just this one short 10-minute sequence at the beginning of the movie that's completely unnecessary for the movie.
No,
I have
course,
a suspicion.
No, all you got to do is just say, hey,
I have
you
a suspicion,
wanna...
Joe.
Okay, all right.
And the suspicion is that the original script had a lot more of those either flashbacks or scenes where she's following what's going on there and she's worried about it, hearing it on radio or watching it on TV. And they cut those out because Greengrass realized they're not required for the movie. But he left that initial scene in. I don't know. Do you?
Well, no. I would just guess that if somebody said, hey, Miss Keener, you want to be in a Tom Hanks movie? Yes, sure. I mean, I'd be in a Tom Hanks movie if I was the guy in the John standing next to her for 2 seconds. I mean, to be in a Tom Hanks movie, why would you say no? I mean, I would imagine she signed on for that. Although I do pick up what you're putting down. I would imagine there's a lot on the cutting room floor of moments where you got the captain maybe looking off into the distance and it was supposed to be a flash to what he imagines his wife is doing at the exact same time.
Yeah, something like that that didn't advance the plot at all, because the plot itself is suspenseful enough and you really, really get caught up in what's going on board the big vessel and then the smaller lifeboat later on when it's just Hanks and these four Somali guys. And, of course, later on the Navy SEALs get involved and you see them take over the mission and all the rest. And it's really, really, really suspenseful and really, really well done. So I give them a lot of credit. And I'm giving this movie an 8 out of 10, Joe.
Wow. Look at that. I mean, last week you threw out a 9. This week you're throwing out an 8. I mean, you're just, it's a love fest, man. It's
gravity.
A love fest for you.
Yeah. Well, we're in the time of the year when good movies are coming out. And I respect all the people who made this, and I'm very happy to recommend it for people to go see. Now, let's take a break, and then we'll come back and talk some more showbiz stuff in a moment. Our portion of the show is coming to you from O'Kelly's at the ballpark down here on South 4th Street, where Cardinal fans are getting ready for Game 1 of the NLCS tonight against the Dodgers. Joe's back in the studio, and we're all on the Big 550 KTRS.
And we're going to get a look at traffic right now. Here's Tim Weiland. Hi, Tim.
Hey, Dan. Boys, you might expect with this baseball game tonight, it is a mess. It's starting to develop on the highways. Now, they've cleared that accident westbound 270 just before Washington Elizabeth, so that traffic westbound is thinned out. Eastbound traffic, though, you're starting to slow midway between St. Charles Rock Road and 370, and it crawls all the way through 170. Finally opens up at New Florissant. Now, southbound 270 has stop-and-go traffic from Page down through Doherty Ferry. If you're traveling westbound on 40, you've got the usual stop-and-go stuff between Kings Highway, McCausland, from about Lindbergh out through 141, and then it's slow from Clarkson out to the Boone Bridge. Eastbound traffic, that's getting thicker, though. You're heavy from Clarkson in through Mason. You're slow again from Lindbergh through all the way through Big Bend. Southbound 170, that's slowing from Olive down through Highway 40, and eastbound 70, you're jammed pretty solid now, mostly in the through lanes from, looks like, Salisbury now through Edward Jones Dome. This traffic report is brought to you by Walmart. The Walmart October Savings Event is here, where you'll find Keurig K40 Elite Brewers on rollback for just $98. That's $11 off at Walmart. Ends October 31st while supplies last. See store for details. From the Golden Oak Lending Traffic Center, Tim Weiland on the Big 550 KTRS.
Hurry into Sears Auto Center for great deals on America's most trusted battery, DieHard. Plus, take advantage of a free battery check at Sears Auto Center. See store for details.
Be honest. Will owning a bigger TV help you get ahead in life? Will another pair of shoes make you a better person? Probably not. But what if you could speak another language? If acquiring a new language excites you more than acquiring more stuff, then wait until you hear this. As part of its biggest language learning event in history, Rosetta Stone is giving away demos of its powerful language learning software absolutely free. For your free demo, call 1-800-616-5339. And Rosetta Stone has made language learning more convenient than ever. Learn on your computer or iPad, then practice on the go with your smartphone or MP3 player without ever opening a book or memorizing boring vocabulary again. Do you want more stuff, or do you want a language that will last a lifetime? After all, it's all about priorities. To try a free demo of this powerful language learning software, call 1-800-616-5339. Again, get your free demo now. 1-800-616-5339. That's 1-800-616-5339.
Are you between the ages of 25 and 65? Do you need to lose at least 10 pounds? If you answered yes, we're looking for you. We need you to participate in an absolutely risk-free nationwide trial of an extremely potent weight loss supplement. It's called AF Plus. To participate, you must call 1-800-700-5614 in the next 10 minutes. AF Plus is a proven weight loss breakthrough. Take one capsule just once a day as directed, and you can experience maximum weight loss, pounds in days. It's all natural, safe, and healthy. But if your weight loss with AF Plus is too dramatic, please decrease use and only take it every other day. We're so confident you'll lose weight that we'll give you a full-size supply to use absolutely risk-free. We only need 100 more users for this trial, so if you need to lose weight, call immediately to guarantee your participation in this nationwide risk-free trial. Call 1-800-700-5614. That toll-free number again is 1-800-700-5614.
This is Jim McMillan inviting you to join the family fun at the Great River Road Chestnut Roast Saturday from 10 to 4 at Forest Keeling Nursery in Ellsbury, Missouri. Enjoy a fun-filled day with food, arts and crafts, demonstration, fun activities for the kids, and of course, fresh roasted chestnuts. You can sample Gina Yu's flavorful Asian cuisine. Forest Keeling will also have a wide variety of plants, RPM-produced trees, shrubs, and plants on sale, including selections of their popular Chinese chestnut. Admission is free. For more information, visit their website at fknursery.com or call them at 800-356-2401. It's fun for the whole family. It's the third annual Great River Road Chestnut Roast, Saturday from 10 to 4 at Forest Keeling Nursery off Scenic Highway 79 in Ellsbury, Missouri. Call them at 1-800-356-2401 or visit their website, fknursery.com.
If you're one of the millions of Americans with type 2 diabetes, please listen closely to the following message. Have you been diagnosed with type 2 diabetes? Are you having trouble controlling your blood sugar levels? Have you also had a heart attack, stroke, or other circulatory risks? If so, you may qualify for a research study in our area evaluating the cardiovascular safety and effectiveness of an investigational medication for type 2 diabetes. To qualify, you must be 18 years or older, diagnosed with type 2 diabetes, experiencing difficulty managing your blood sugar levels, and have had a previous heart attack, stroke, or are at risk of these illnesses. Qualified participants will receive all study-related care and study medication at no cost. Health insurance is not required. Please call Mercy Health Research at 314-251-8893. Call now, 314-251-8893. That's 314-251-8893.
The government shutdown, the debt ceiling, volatile stock markets, low interest rates. Are you concerned about preserving your assets and creating an income in these uncertain times?
Hi, this is Laurie and Ken Heisey. At Heisey Advisory Group, we specialize in asset preservation and income planning. Call us today at 314-909-1116 to schedule a no-obligation consultation that will address your concerns. That's 314-909-1116. Heisey Advisory Group, financial security in any account.
This is the Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon on the Big 550 KTRS, coming to you today from O'Kelly's at the ballpark on South 4th Street, just a couple of blocks away from Stadium, where the Cards will play game one of the NLCS against the Dodgers tonight. First pitch at 7:37. The rally's going on out at Ballpark Village. It's beautiful. I mean, you could not ask for better weather for a ball game this afternoon. And we're happy to have you here. I'm Paul Harris. Ian and Dan are here with me. And Joe Hipperson is back in the studio, and we're talking about showbiz stuff. Any other movies coming out this week besides Captain Phillips and Machete Kills?
Those are the two big ones. There's a couple of independent art house flicks that I have not gotten around to. As far as entertainment news goes, did you hear what Harrison Ford had to say yesterday?
No.
Okay. Harrison Ford can't go anywhere right now. He's trying to promote that movie Ender's Game or whatever. It looks ridiculous. Ben Kingsley's got a full-on face tattoo in the thing. It looks ridiculous to me. But he's going around trying to promote this Ender's Game movie, and he can't do anything without people saying, hey, what about Star Wars Episode 7? Star Wars Episode 7, are you going to be in it? Now, so far, George Lucas has said, oh, yeah, I want Mark Hamill and Carrie Fisher and Harrison Ford. Yeah, we're going to bring everybody back. I don't think George Lucas realizes that he sold out all of his availability to call any shots anymore. Mark Hamill, Carrie Fisher both said, yeah, we're on board. We're going to be in it. Nobody ever really bothered to ask Harrison Ford if he is going to come back. And yesterday he made it very clear he has no idea, has no real concern over it, doesn't really care. All he wants is to do Indiana Jones 5.
Oh.
Why?
Maybe because there was an Indiana Jones 4. I'm not sure. But he's taken every opportunity he gets. When people ask him a Star Wars question, every opportunity, he flips it and says, nah, I don't really care about the Star Wars thing. Maybe. But I'd really like to do Indiana Jones 5. And I've been talking to Ridley Scott about doing a second Blade Runner movie at the same time. I hate to say this. I really do. Because I love Harrison Ford. Big, huge fan. The guy is 72 years old. I just, don't you think?
I'm in search of the Holy Grail.
it worries me because.
That's a Metamucil.
Well, it worries me because it's like when we saw the trailer for Grudge Match, where you see Stallone and De Niro, and you're thinking, what? Really? You're going to see these two guys at this age box? Doesn't it tarnish the memories you have of when it was good?
Yeah, what do you have Kevin Costner play his son?
Joe, what was the last good role for Harrison Ford?
Off the top of my head, I think What Lies Beneath was the last great, great performance.
Good one.
And that's what, a decade ago?
Yeah, it was during the interim when Zemeckis was filming Castaway. He filmed half of Castaway, and then he shut down production so Tom Hanks could get skinny. And during the skinny time is when he shot his ode to Hitchcock in a movie called What Lies Beneath. I thought it was amazing, not just for Harrison Ford, just a great film beginning to end.
I will say that Harrison Ford was very good as Branch Rickey in the Jackie Robinson movie 42 that came out. Was that this year or later?
Yeah, but yeah. I couldn't get over the way he talked. I just,
I know, that's his new thing. You know, when he did that Morning Glory movie with Rachel McAdams, and he played the gruff TV news anchor who was forced to do a morning show like the Today Show or Good Morning America instead of his evening network newscast. He was using that same serious voice, like he was pissed off about everything. And that's the official new Harrison Ford voice.
Well, you know what he should do? He should play
every role.
You know what? They should do a great father-son movie. We talked about this before. Why don't they do Jack Nicholson and Christian Slater as a father-son team? They could do Clint Eastwood with his son, Harrison Ford. They'd just be brilliant.
Yes.
Hey, Dad, how you doing? I'm doing good, son.
I don't know.
Did you mow the lawn?
Go out and cut the lawn.
Yeah. And then get off my lawn.
Yeah. Right. We'll cut it and get off it.
All right. One showbiz story I have this week is about Woody Allen's movie Blue Jasmine, which made waves earlier this year because of the fantastic performance by Cate Blanchett, who I think is a lock to win the Best Actress Oscar next year. The movie is playing in more theaters all around the world, but will not be playing in India. Can you guess why?
Because there is something that is offensive to Indians, or... Wait, is this that smoking thing?
Yes. In India, there's a law that if you have any characters smoking on the screen there must be a warning to people about the dangers of smoking.
What?
Not before or after the movie, but up there almost like as a subtitle, and whenever anybody's lighting up a butt, they've got a... put that warning up there, not only in movies, but on TV shows as well. India says that they have a big problem with this, even though a smaller percentage of Indians smoke than Americans smoke. It's like 14% there, 19% here. But they will not allow anything on the screen unless it has that warning. And Woody Allen, through his production company, said, well, then you're not going to get the movie.
Well, you know what? Okay, maybe I'm very ignorant to other cultures, and I probably am. I am. I'm very ignorant to every culture out there, and I'm very apologetic to those cultures. India, isn't that where we get the hookah stuff from, where everybody gets around this bagpipe and smokes? I mean, isn't that where that came from?
No, I think that's more Middle Eastern.
Ah, okay. Well, again, yeah. I apologize for my ignorance. I thought it was all the same thing.
No, it's not. Well,
I'm not trying to start a riot.
The interesting thing here is... the interesting thing here in the United States is that there are groups that want similar things done on movies that are shown here. You know, there's that group that's been pushing the MPAA to give an R rating to any movie that has characters smoking in it. And they've been trying to get that going for years. But the MPAA says, you know, we would take it into account if it's pervasive or it's glamorized, but we're not going to issue a mandatory R just for films that show people smoking.
Well, you know what? Just give it enough time, and what will happen is there'll be a movie that'll come out, and it'll be a series of films, and maybe a character smokes in it. They just take the smoke, they light it up, and right before they inhale, they should say to the character, hey, you know, I hear these are bad for you. Yeah, me too. And then they should just keep going. And then you got it made, right? Then you just insert it as dialogue.
Well, you might as well cancel Mad Men.
Yeah.
Everybody on that show smokes and drinks. And the other thing I wanted to mention to you in the showbiz realm is that HBO is working on a new show called Criminal Justice, which was scheduled to start filming in January. And it was going to star James Gandolfini. But, of course, he died last June. And HBO has been struggling to find who they could get to replace James Gandolfini. And so they've hired Robert De Niro.
Wow.
De Niro to replace Gandolfini in this show called Criminal Justice, in which he'll play a lawyer who gets embroiled in a complicated, murky murder case set in New York. Now, De Niro's never done a TV series. He's appeared on various TV series and, of course, on late-night talk shows to pimp for his own projects. But can you see De Niro as a TV star?
Well, it's different when you look at HBO, though, because HBO's got this weird kind of movie legitimacy to, you know, what they do. The Sopranos, for example, great example, Gandolfini. You don't watch that TV show and think, hey, I'm watching a TV show. It's almost like you're watching little segments in a long film. But you know what? Hearing just the phrase, Robert De Niro is going to do TV, it makes me want to vomit the same way I did when I looked at that new Robin Williams thing that he's got going on. You just don't do it. And you're at a certain caliber. But maybe you can't criticize a guy for it. I mean, Gandolfini was Gandolfini. Who better to fill the shoes of Tony Soprano than a guy like Robert De Niro?
Yeah, I'm not saying it's bad casting, but I disagree with you. I think you're getting a lot of movie stars who want to do TV because that's where the great stories are, and they don't have to be wrapped up in 90 minutes or 2 hours. You can tell it over 6, 7, 13 hours over the course of a season. And some of the best drama that's being made in America right now is being made on television.
No, you got a good point, because if you do a couple of bum episodes, you can always make up for it later on. You do a bum movie, that's it. 2 hours, you're dead. 2 hours on TV, that's just two episodes out of 12 or 13. You still got a way to turn it around. So I will concede and agree with you 100%. I got a couple of concerts real quick if you want to bang them out, man.
Yeah, you know what? I don't have time for all the concerts, but let's go right to the game.
Ooh, okay, because, man, there were some good ones. All right, so we'll just do the game. Here are five shows. Four are absolutely real. One is completely fake. Are we ready?
Yes,
ready.
Polly Was a Cracker, Friday at FUBAR. Cluster Pluck, Saturday at 2720 Cherokee. Eddie's Munsters, Friday at the Way Out Club.
Oh.
Ultraviolet Hippopotamus, Saturday at Cicero's. The Jelly Fisherman, Friday at the Mad Magician.
Dan?
Wow, I'm going to go, I guess, Cluster Pluck.
I'm going to go Cluster Pluck.
Same here.
And once again, I am victorious because Polly Was a Cracker, completely made up by Joe Hipperson.
Oh.
Please steal that band name if you want and give me credit in the liner notes. Again, I'm Joe Hipperson. That will do it for me. I'll talk to you guys next week for the Big 550 KTRS Hip on Entertainment.
Thank you, Joe. Nice job. Joe Hipperson brought to you every week by Oreck, 7 locally owned and operated Oreck home centers in the St. Louis area. Online at OREC. That's Oreck.com.
Let's get a look at traffic right now and check in with Tim Weiland. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Dan. Well, we've got a new accident. Now, first of all, you've got stop-and-go traffic on southbound 270 approaching Page down to 40 Ferry. But then you've got an accident. It's just before Highway 55, and it's blocking the two left lanes. So traffic is starting to jam up from Highway 44 all the way up to just before 55. Southbound 141, you're slow. Big Bend down through Highway 44. Westbound 44, looks like we're slowing now from Soccer Park almost to Highway 141 before things really open up. Eastbound 40, what a mess. It's going to be jammed up with baseball traffic from Boone's Crossing all the way up through Mason. You're heavy again from Lindbergh through Big Bend. westbound 40. That's the usual slowdown. Kings Highway all the way out to the Boone Bridge. You're going to find some stop-and-go pockets there. Westbound 70, you're running slow from 170 out through Lindbergh. Eastbound 70, you're heavy from 270 through 170. You're heavy again approaching Salisbury. In fact, it's a little closer to Grand now to the Edward Jones Dome. This traffic report is brought to you by Walmart. The Walmart October Savings event is here. Find huge savings like six packs of Dove Bath Bar Soap for just $6. Come see the thousands of rollbacks at Walmart. Ends October 31st. While supplies last, see store for details. From the Golden Oak Lending Traffic Center, Tim Weiland on the Big 550 KTRS.
Starring Bill Clinton along with Bruce Lindquist and the All-Boy Orchestra, brought to you by Laclede Cab, your AM and the PM cab company. 314-652-3456. And now, here's Bill Cleveland.
Hello, Bill.
Hi, everybody. How you doing? Happy Friday.
Hey, Bill, we're in downtown St. Louis ourselves at O'Kelly at the ballpark, and we were looking for you. I couldn't see you.
Well, I'm hiding, but I am here. I am here right in downtown. A couple quick ones here for the big baseball game tonight. The government shutdown continues to take its toll on Americans. This new story today, that apparently Yogi Bear's now been ordered to leave Jellystone Park. It's getting bad.
What? Habubu is going to be so mad.
And Jesse Ventura said he may run for president in 2016. Boy, I think there's a lot of acrimony in Washington, D.C. now. Just wait until the president body slams the Speaker of the House. That'll be. And the Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons has won the 2013 Nobel Peace Prize. Although, no surprise here, Dennis Rodman is the man in a recount.
He came in
and
second.
Finally, this afternoon. Oh, wait, no applause. I guess we're on remote location today. Researchers found that your first decision is usually your right one. And they were like, scratch that second decision. That's the right one.
I see what you did there.
Okay, wow. This is, all, as good. Always, awkward. The Bill Cleveland segment brought to you this afternoon by Laclede Cab, the AM and the PM Cab Company, and from somewhere else in downtown St. Louis, I'm Bill Cleveland on the Big 550 KTRS.
I think Bill's implying that the show is not running with its typical quartz-tuned Swiss time.
Yeah, what the heck?
I don't know what he means by that. We're coming up on 5 o'clock. We're live from O'Kelly's at the ballpark on South 4th at Gratiot, and you're welcome to come by and say hi. And stick around for the Harris Challenge coming up on KTRS St. Louis.
From ABC News, I'm Chuck Severson. No breakthroughs reported, but more talking to